about this question. Jesus asked James and John in the text we looked at last week, what do you want me to do for you? And remember that context was they were going to Jerusalem and they were sort of in awe about Jesus and they were afraid because they were approaching Jerusalem. And James and John peeled off from the rest of the group of disciples and they came up to Jesus and they said, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask for you to do for us. And he said, well, what do you want me to do for you? And when they answered that question, it revealed something about themselves. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. They asked, let one of us sit on your right and one on your left in your glory. That was how they answered the question. I ask you to think this week, how would you answer that question? I hope you've thought about this. God is giving us more snow and more time to think about this question. And so we'll see this question again. A few of you reached out to me and told me, this is my answer. And a few of you reached out to me and said, I'm wrestling with this. I'm thinking through it. It sort of brings things up, doesn't it? I think it's helpful to think through that as a way to examine ourselves. In our passage today, we see that this man named Bartimaeus gave a very different answer to the question, what do you want me to do for you, than did James and John. This passage, the end of Mark chapter 10, is we have to look at where it's positioned in the Gospel of Mark. It's a section in the Gospel of Mark that has sort of a bookend here and a bookend there. This is about following Jesus. This passage, this section of the Gospel, it begins in the middle of Mark chapter 8, where Jesus heals one blind man in a town called Bethsaida. And it ends when he's right about to enter Jerusalem, where he's healing another blind man named Bartimaeus. And these bookends sort of wrap up a section in the middle. They contain a section in this gospel that is showing us some things about what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow Jesus. In this passage, we have the three times that Jesus foretells that he will suffer and he will die and then he will rise again when he goes to Jerusalem. And each of those times, he tells his disciples that this will happen. And each of those three times, they reveal with their immediate response that they don't get it at all. These verses, these three chapters, show us what it looks like to really see Jesus, to comprehend him. In fact, the whole Gospel of Mark is about that. The Gospel of Mark is not primarily about discipleship or how to follow Jesus. It's primarily answering this question, who is Jesus? Mark, along with the other Gospel writers, Matthew, Luke, and John, are all presenting to us an answer to that question. Who is this person, Jesus? And they reveal him. And in this Gospel of Mark, we see that he came, and he is a king, and yet he came as a king that is humble, and he came to serve and to give his life. So we see that in this section of the Gospel of Mark. And then we see, especially in these last few passages, how people ought to respond by following Jesus. And there are different ways that people approach Jesus and want to follow him. How can you come and follow Jesus? That's how this ends. So you see that people are bringing children, that Jesus would bless them. And Jesus does, and he says, anyone that comes to me, anyone that wants to be in my kingdom, has to come like a child. And then you see the rich young man that comes to him. And he says, I've kept all the commandments, and I just want to follow you, and I want to know what to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus loved him, and he told him the truth. And then it was too much because Jesus said, you know, there's one thing. Go and you have to sell all of your stuff, and then come follow me. And the man went away sad. James and John come up to Jesus, and they are following him, but they don't get it right because they are seeking glory for themselves in following Jesus. And he says, you guys don't know what you're talking about. It's different. You see, what Jesus had to explain to them is there has to be a cross first and then a crown. And now we have this man, Bartimaeus, this blind beggar. When Jesus is getting close to Jerusalem, and he's in a town called Jericho, and he's about to go up into Jerusalem, this man hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and a crowd forms, and he hears about him. And what we see in this passage with Bartimaeus is this, that Bartimaeus, finishing this bookended section of the Gospel of Mark, Bartimaeus is a model of getting it right. Bartimaeus is for us a display, a model of true discipleship, what a true disciple of Jesus should look like. And so I want us to look at him and this passage about Bartimaeus under three headings. He sees him clearly, he needs him dearly, and he follows him sincerely. First, he sees him clearly. And I say he sees him clearly. He's a blind man, you say. I say, yes, he is blind physically. But he sees him in a different way. You see, in the Bible, we are supposed to see God. We are supposed to see Christ for who he is. And it's not with physical sight. You and I can't look at him physically. Bartimaeus couldn't see him in his blindness. But he saw him in a different way. Not with his eyes. He saw him with his understanding. And I know that because look at how he calls out to Jesus. He was blind physically, but he saw Jesus truly with his understanding. And I see this in verse 47, where when he hears that Jesus is passing by, he calls out to him and he uses a title. He says, Jesus, Son of David. He calls him Son of David. And when he does that, he is revealing, I believe something about Jesus. He comprehends, Bartimaeus comprehends that this Jesus of Nazareth, the name Jesus wasn't unique in that time. It was the same as you would hear Joshua. But Jesus of Nazareth was a unique person, and people were talking about him. He had been traveling around teaching, and word about him had gotten to Jericho, where this man, Bartimaeus, his father Timaeus, were there. And he heard and he believed that this one is the one that's called the Son of David. Now, to understand what that title means, you have to go back to the life of David. When King David was king in Israel, things were wonderful. There was peace, there was security, there was victory over God's enemies, there was prosperity, and God promised David something. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, he said, "You won't build me a house, but one of your descendants, one of your sons will build me a house." And he will build a house, and he will have a kingdom, and his kingdom will be forever. His reign, his ruling over my people will be forever. And so people were waiting for this one, Son of David, the promised king of God's people. Bartimaeus says, "You're that one, Jesus. I know you're the one, and I'm calling out to you. You're the one who has come to bring goodness and bring blessing, like David did, only better and forever." And while he was calling out on the roadside in Jericho, many of the people in the crowd tried to shut him up, but he would not be deterred. He saw Jesus so clearly that he feared no crowd of people. He saw him so clearly that he kept crying out. Now let me ask you this. Why would he fear people when the Son of David is there? If the Son of David is really there, and you really comprehend that it's him, well, you got to see him. You got to get close to him. And he can bring goodness to you. This is an indication for us. I want you to think about yourself with this. This is an indication that you see Jesus clearly. The wonder of him so fills you with hope that nobody can deter you from following him, from calling out to him. The hope that you have in him cannot be stopped by relatives that say, "Don't take that too seriously. Don't be a fanatic. You're acting strange." When you see Jesus, you will be strange to other people. Other people might tell you, "You know, could you put a lid on it?" If you see him clearly, you will not. Do you see him clearly? Do you realize that he is the glorious king? When you do, you will call out to him. calling on the name of the Lord is in the Bible an indication that you really know God. When you pray, do you pray hoping in Jesus, trusting in Him? At the end of this passage in verse 52, Jesus commends Bartimaeus for his faith. See, that's the thing that you, when you realize who He is, it's because God has helped you God has revealed who He is to you. Bartimaeus sees Him clearly. And secondly, he needs Him dearly. Bartimaeus needs Him dearly. Also in verse 47, he says, "Jesus of Nazareth," he calls out to Him, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Look at these words, "have mercy on me." Here we begin to see the contrast between Bartimaeus, James, and John. He is asking for mercy, not glory. He's asking for mercy. This is a big contrast. You see, friends, it is so easy to live for ourselves in this world. It's so easy to fix our desires on the things of this world. And there's a lot that can tempt us, not just glory. Even as in a Christian way, people can seek glory. People can seek prominence and glory, like James and John were trying to do, without a cross. The Bible talks about the pleasures and the treasures and the applause that would tempt us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These things are always pulling at us and tempting us. These are the things of the world that will pass away. And they can easily entangle us and grab our affections. James and John wanted this. They wanted it all. And they wanted it from Jesus. They wanted glory. They set their hearts on the things of glory, the things that are of this world without a cross. And that's the kind of king they thought he was. Bartimaeus, he wanted mercy. Friends, mercy is what you need most. Mercy from the Son of David. And there's a huge difference between these, a huge difference. It reveals our hearts what we ask for from Him. When you ask for mercy, when you get to the point in your life when you call out to God and say, "God, have mercy on me," it's because you are to the end of yourself. It is because you realize you can't help yourself. You are helpless on your own. And so you call out, like Bartimaeus did, yelling there on the roadside, begging for compassion, for pity. It's calling out to God and saying, "God, I need your help. I'm a terrible sinner. I need you to heal me." So let me ask you this. How do you approach Jesus? Some, like James and John, want glory from Him without a cross. It doesn't work that way. You must come to Jesus like this man Bartimaeus for mercy. You must come to Him dependent and needy for His help. So, do you look for Jesus to add something to your life on your terms? Or are you desperately in need of Him? And is that how you approach Him? Bartimaeus needed Him dearly. Now, look at his answer to the question. James and John wanted glory. Bartimaeus jumps up. Jesus stops in the middle of the crowd. He's leaving and he says, "Call that man. Call him to me." Bartimaeus flings off his coat, his cloak, and he runs to Jesus. And he stands in front of him. And Jesus asks the same question that he asked James and John. "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus answers, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." He wanted to see. He wanted his eyes to be opened so that they could work, possibly again. Maybe they worked at some point. Friends, this is a man that needed the Savior dearly. You see, Jesus is the King who suffered, died, and rose to save us, to save you. And here we have another healing. And as you read through the Gospels, you see so many healings. You might think, oh, well, here's another healing, and you just pass along. Even if you're a student of the Bible, it can be easy to just breeze past. Here's another healing. Here's a leper that's healed. Here's a person that was blind. Here's a person that couldn't hear. Here's a person that couldn't speak. Here's a person that couldn't walk. And Jesus just heals them all. Don't let them become too familiar. When you read about the way Jesus heals, these are all in here for a reason. And what is the reason? Remember, the Gospel of Mark is written so that we can see who Jesus is. And when we see this. There's this king who came not to be served, but to serve, brought into this world in which we live, where there is sickness and death and suffering. He brought life, because in him there is life. And people that are near him are healed and made whole. And the kingdom to which he is calling us by faith in him is not of this world, and it's not in this world. But while he was here, he would touch with a word to Bartimaeus. He said, your faith has made you well. And just with his words, Bartimaeus could see again. And here's the thing that you have to see about Jesus. This is what the Gospel of Mark is revealing to us with another healing. That in his kingdom, in the kingdom that is going to be, there's not going to be any sickness. No one will have bodies that are broken. No one will have eyes that don't see. No one will have legs that don't work. No one will have cancer. No one will have sickness. He will heal us. He will comfort us. And in that kingdom, there will be no sorrow. There's no brokenness because there's no sin. And he undoes all of these broken things. And this is the king that came into this world. He came as a servant to give his life as a ransom for many. And why did he do it? He did it because he loves you. He did it out of a heart that longs to heal and save because he is good. You might think, I'm not sure if God loves me. You might think that. But look at what he did. He did these things for a man that everyone else despised and would say to him, to Bartimaeus, be quiet. Get out of the way. Have people treated you like that? Have you been shut out by others, not loved, treated as a burden? Not Jesus. Jesus calls you to himself and he says, what do you want me to do for you? And you know what he came to do? He came to bring mercy because he loves you. He came to save you. But he is not here to be approached on your terms like the rich young ruler did, like James and John did. They had a plan that they wanted Jesus to carry out. But you have to come to him like a child. You have to come to him like a blind beggar. You have to call on him for his mercy because you, like me, we are deeply needy people. We need him dearly. He is the king. You know, I'm going to paraphrase this. I'm not sure if I'll get it right. But you remember in the Chronicles of Narnia, when there was always winter and never Christmas, and the children got to the beaver's house, And the one little girl asked about this lion that was the king. He was the king. And Mr. Beaver and Mrs. Beaver were telling the children about the king, who is the Christ figure in the Chronicles of Narnia. And the one girl says about the lion, is he safe? And Mr. Beaver says, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he ain't safe. But he's good, I tell you. He's the king. That's Jesus. You have to come to him as a king, and you have to come to him asking for mercy. He can heal you. And the way that you have to be healed more than your physical sickness, which doesn't often happen in this world, it happens. Sometimes God will heal us of things, and we pray for that. But it's not happening the way it happened with Jesus. Everyone that came to Jesus was healed. It was a glimpse of his kingdom breaking into this world. He can heal you spiritually. You need to see him and comprehend who he is by faith. And when you come to him, when you call on him, he will heal you spiritually. You see, we are born all with a spiritual blindness because of sin. As Gordon prayed, we sin because we are sinners, and we are stuck with this, and we are blind, and we naturally desire the things of this world. We naturally desire the glory that James and John were going after. Naturally, we don't see that kingdom that is yet to be, but it's there, and it's coming, and it will be. And one day, everyone will see it, and Jesus will come back, and he will reveal all these things. Why he came now, and why we have this gospel that goes out, and as it is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and it calls us from spiritual blindness to spiritual sight. And God gives us the ability, just like Bartimaeus was able then to see physically, God gives us the ability to comprehend this Jesus. And in comprehending him, in calling on his name, we are healed of our spiritual blindness. He gives us sight so we can comprehend him. He welcomes us into his kingdom. This is a glimpse of what it looks like with Bartimaeus to be brought into his kingdom. And look at how good it is to go to Jesus humble and needy. When Bartimaeus called on him for mercy, he received mercy. He received a blessing. I mean, imagine not being able to see, and then you can see. Imagine the way that your restrictions are gone. I mean, a blind man in that culture couldn't work. He couldn't take care of himself. He was sitting on the side of the road begging. But now he can see clearly. Well, with his physical eyes, even though he saw him with his understanding, Bartimaeus sees him clearly, needs him dearly, and finally, he follows him sincerely. Look at verse 52 with me. Look at how Jesus sends him, after he heals him, wherever he would go. He sets Bartimaeus free. And look at what Bartimaeus does with this. I love this. This is an indication that your heart has been changed. This is an indication that you are truly a disciple of Jesus. When he says to him in verse 52, "Go your way. Go your way." Just sets him free. Wherever you want to go, go ahead. "Your faith has made you well." Jesus had said this to others, this type of thing to others. Sometimes he gives instructions. Earlier on in the Gospels, he was saying, "Don't tell anyone what I did here." He's not doing that anymore, and you're going to see why as he gets to Jerusalem. Look at the life that is before Bartimaeus that was not there before. Jesus set him free, and he's able to go. Life is opened up to him again. What will he do with this? Where does he go? Where would be Bartimaeus' way? The second part of the verse, "And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." What would Bartimaeus do with his freedom? Well, he follows Jesus. He follows Jesus to Jerusalem. Friends, in this passage, Jesus is heading to Jerusalem to suffer and die. And Bartimaeus follows him there. People are afraid because everyone knew there were some religious leaders that basically wanted to kill Jesus. They all knew they didn't like Jesus, and they knew it was dangerous for Jesus to go into Jerusalem. Therefore, it's dangerous to be a part of a group that's with Jesus going into Jerusalem. Bartimaeus follows anyway. In fact, we have his name. There are many people that are healed in the gospel who are not named. But Bartimaeus is named. This is a town where he lived in Jericho, near Jerusalem. Bartimaeus, I believe that we're given his name because I think that when Mark wrote this in the AD 50s or 60s, and Mark had a house in Jerusalem where the church met, when Peter busted out of prison and God broke Peter out of prison in the middle of the night, he runs to this house, the house of Mary, the mother of Mark. It was probably a very big house because the believers would meet there and worship there. Bartimaeus, I believe, was known to them. Just like later in the gospel in chapter 15, we're going to hear of a man named Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Why would he give us those names? Well, he gave us those names because this early gospel is written to people that they would know someone in their churches who were there when Jesus was doing these things. I believe that Bartimaeus was a part of the church at that point when the gospel was written so that people could say, oh, Bartimaeus. I mean, if you picture it, there's a house, there's a big house probably, and they would meet for church, and you would see this man that was probably a little older by that point. He was probably a little bit bent with years, and he would walk in, and he probably served the church, and he certainly would do things to help the believers and to just be a part of this community of believers in Jerusalem. And a little boy would say, Daddy, who's that man over there? Oh, that's blind Bartimaeus. But he can see. Oh, he can see now. Yeah, he can see now, son. But see, Bartimaeus was down in Jericho, and when Jesus came through one day, he called out. He called out to Jesus, and Jesus gave him the ability to see again. And then Bartimaeus became a follower, like we follow Jesus. Oh, that's Bartimaeus. That's right. Bartimaeus kept following Jesus. He's an example to us of a disciple. When you know who Jesus is, you follow him sincerely. This, friends, this ends this section for us. This is what a true disciple looks like. You see him clearly, you need him dearly, and you follow him sincerely. There are ways for you to do this. You need to live for him. You can find ways to serve him through this church. There are ways that you can identify and call out on him in the midst of other people that would tell you, don't do that. But he's the king, I tell you. And in his kingdom there is life forever. Let's pray.